turn to Psalm 77 tonight as we get into our Bible study. Psalm 77, and I was looking around. Notice some forgot your Bible even after all those announcements. Can you imagine? All right, go ahead and lift your hand. We want everybody to have a Bible. If you don't have your Bible, if you would raise that, we want everybody to be able to see a copy of God's Word. And so we get an opportunity tonight to all put our eyes on the truth. And still getting it around. Let's see here. Everybody get one? Okay. All right. Psalm 77. I'm going to go ahead and ask the youth workers, go ahead and pass out a sheet here that I want you to keep handy. I hope that when we pass out these outlines, it's for your benefit so you can take home the points that we talked about. You can put it in a special place and then be reminded of it, be able to reflect upon it throughout the week or even in the coming years. A lot of this stuff you can use not only now, but the rest of your life, and I hope that you will. Go ahead and get these passed out. I know some of you didn't come expecting to be writing. You'll need a pen, perhaps. Raise your hand if you are in need. These guys will get it to you. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and see what the Word of God says. Psalm 77, I want you to see here a phrase that I'm going to repeat often throughout this message, and I want you to notice what it says in verse 5 here. The psalmist here says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Okay, the word here that we're going to weave into the message is the word consider. What does consider mean? It means to stop and to think. Okay, the psalmist here is saying that there are some things that I stopped and considered about the past. And there should be things that we stop and consider about the past. We don't have time to talk about all of those things, but just notice nonetheless, there are things that we need to consider about the past. Well, I want you to notice as well, the book of Haggai. Book of Haggai. You don't have to turn there. It'd take you too long to find it, okay? It's somewhat small book and it's hidden between some books, so I'll just read the verse. But Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. There's that word again, that phrase. There are some things that we need to stop and think about, not only about the past, okay, but there are some things presently. Okay, this is present tense. There's some things that we need to stop and think about right now. If we had the time to fast forward to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, we would see where Paul gave Timothy a list of things that he was charging him to consider. Timothy, consider these things I'm saying to you and allow the Lord to give you understanding. Okay, it is one thing to stop and consider, to stop and think, but then to allow the Lord to give you understanding about a certain issue. Now, this is the way a Christian thinks. Okay, many people would stop and think before they would do something. However, few be there that actually stop and allow the Lord to direct his thoughts. We live in a world that have different types of people. There are people who are impulsive. Okay, people who do not think before they act. And they oftentimes find themselves in a heap of a lot of trouble, okay? That person is impulsive, and it hurts them. It results in their undoing. We have people on the other end of the spectrum that maybe don't just consider, but they get caught up in the process and do nothing. They almost think too much. That's all they do. And so they think about a lot of things, but they're not actually doers. It doesn't result in much. Okay, we don't want to be on either extreme tonight. We want to be a person who stops and thinks and considers things that the Lord is trying to tell us. For our practical purposes tonight, you'll notice the title that we're considering here, My Technology. Originally, I wrote this in a different form. I said, considering your technology. But sometimes when we think about it as something someone else needs to do, we don't make application at home base. So tonight, I'm going to preach this message, and honestly, this is something that every 6 months I could talk about, because it has become such a big part of my life. It's become such a big part of your life. And regardless of whether you have a personal cell phone, a device, a smartphone that has been given or entrusted to you, or you simply use a device at home, or maybe from time to time your parents say, hey, here, you can get on my phone and do X, Y, Z, whatever. We all interact with technology, but I wonder how many of us have stopped to consider how we use technology. Let me give you some things here, and I did this survey a few years ago. I want to share it with you. And I asked some people on social media this question. I said this, I asked the people there, I said, you know, give me a reason that you wish you did not have a smartphone. Well, that sounds counterintuitive, right? Like most of the time we're thinking, oh, if I had a smartphone, and boy, I love my smartphone and for this thing. But I ask specifically, tell me a reason why you wish you didn't have a smartphone. These are some of the things that were mentioned. One said security reasons. Another person said that they disliked the negative effects of seeing what other Christians share, like, or comment. Somebody else said that it takes away time they could spend with actual people. But the majority of those who commented mentioned one particular area, and that is this, that it's distracting and takes up too much of my time. You know, I'm afraid that in our day and time, there's a whole lot of people who are enjoying a lot of technology and have not stopped to, get the word, consider the effects. As a Christian, we ought to do that. Heavenly Father, would you direct our thoughts as we look at some of these principles? And Lord, may all of us in this room be willing to lay our devices, Lord, or the way that we use technology upon the altar. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be said of anybody in this room that their device has them. But Lord, I pray that they would use it responsibly and, Lord, according to what you would have us to use it. Lord, we ask that you'd fill our minds with you and focus our attention in the short amount of time we have. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at some things here under considering our technology. Let me give you this and we'll go into our first point here. On average, okay, average American will spend 65 days out of the year on their smartphone. Okay, a few years ago, this number was in the 40s. Okay, it is growing. Okay, so in other words, if you, at the start of the year, for the first 65 days of the year, had uninterrupted time, for 65 days, you would be staring at your smartphone or your device. Well, that's over 2 months. Okay, that factors out to be about 5.4 hours a day. And really, that's not even the most extreme, because that's the average, right? So that means there are people on both sides, all right? Now, you may not have a smartphone, okay? You may not have a device. I know there's a lot of people that are in here would be in that category, but regardless, you and I need to have a plan for how we are going to use our technology, how we are using it, or how we are going to use it in the future. So everybody should take note. Notice number one, why are we so drawn to technology? Okay, number one, technology identifies with what we tend to enjoy. Okay, now think about this for a moment. Number one, you'll notice here under that, A, is cool things. Well, you know, you enjoy cool things, I enjoy cool things, and technology, in a general sense, is just really cool. It's fascinating. I love hearing about the new technologies that are coming out. Tesla, Elon Musk, about 3 months ago or so, had their Cyber Day. And they got up and they talked about all the things that would be up and coming. They are going to transfer from, they're going to continue to make cars, but they're also going to start making robots. Boy, that's cool. It's also scary. Okay? But nonetheless, technology continues to move forward, and most of you in this room, including myself, we gotta take a second and pause and say, this is pretty cool. You know, whether it's a new app, whether it's a new function on your device, whether it's a new game that has come out, there's some really cool things. And for that reason, all of us are drawn to our devices. What's another reason? Number two here, being informed. Being informed. How many of you like to be in the know? Okay, if there's a secret in your house, you kind of like to know what's going on. Okay, now really everybody's hand should be up. You guys are like, I'm mature. Doesn't happen. I don't need to know what's going on over there. I don't. I'm above that. Okay. No, you're not. You're interested in what those quiet conversations. Whoa, what are they talking about? Whoa, what's going on? Okay. We all like to be in the know, and our devices help with that. I mean, you can connect with a broad range of information at any given moment or time. Okay. And that appeals to us. Okay. That makes us, hey, interested. It draws us in. It's another reason. We see that there's cool things. We see being informed. What's another thing? Being efficient and organized. Okay. These would be positive things that we could say. Hey, I'll be the first one to tell you, there are things about the way that I use my smartphone that allow me to be more organized. It allows me to be better managed in that sense. How many of you like to use a device of some type to keep you organized in some way, shape, or form? Who would that be? Okay. All right. Most of us in this room would say that. And that's a great thing. That is why we tend to spend a lot of time, or we can spend, on our smartphone. Notice something else. So being efficient and organized. Notice four here, receiving affirmation. Well, you know, a smartphone has given us a direct line to people. And whether it's through a messaging app or whether it's through social media or just texting someone, we're social people. Even if you don't consider yourself, I don't like to sit down close, right? I'd like to do it behind a, you're still social. You have a desire for that. And along with that, we have a desire for affirmation. That is a part of the way God created us. And that's not a bad thing. But we like affirmation. Those of you who have a social media profile, you get on, you post something, and it encourages you to see those likes come in. You know, that's why you're posing, guys, with your muscles out like this, and you're just waiting for people to come by and hit that love button or like button or whatever it is, right? And you look at that and you say, wow, hey, there's a lot of people that like my muscles or whatever, okay? I don't encourage that, by the way. Okay. What's going on there? What happens when somebody comments or we come on somebody else's and we say, oh, yeah, this is great, we love it? What's happening? Well, that touches a part of our humanity. It's the reason why we can very easily spend more time on a device than we need to. We crave, as human beings, affirmation. Let me give you the next thing here. Not only receiving affirmation, but entertainment. Boy, don't we like to be entertained. Well, I talked about this in Sunday school. We were talking about the culture in Colossae and all the opportunities to be entertained in that environment. You know, things have not changed. Man still likes to be entertained. And chances are when you get to the point where your schoolwork is done on a Friday night and you're ready to just relax, chances are you may have a hard time deciding the way that you want to be entertained because there are so many opportunities to be that. But on the flip side of that, aren't those things what sometimes cause us to spend more time than we need to? Absolutely. And these are some reasons why we find it so compelling to be on our devices. It identifies with what we tend to enjoy. Notice the second thing. It identifies with our lusts. Well, think about this, all right? As the Christian, and as you fill that in there, go over to Colossians, the book of Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And notice with me verse 1. What does it say? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, talking about how these things can connect with things that we sometimes lust after. Notice number 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So therefore, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. And on down it goes. Look at verse 8. But now ye are also ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. What's he talking about here? These are things that in our old man crave. Okay, these are not the things that we put on when we put on Christ. No, these are things that Paul is telling us we need to put off. And yet when we encounter the devices, maybe a smartphone, it could be a tablet or what have you, at the very same time, there's some good things there. We need to understand that there are some things that can be appealing to our old man, appealing to our lusts. You know, the person who doesn't stop and consider that is a foolish person. The person who thinks that they can just hop on the web and just expect everything to just be clean and comfy and cozy is not considering the fact that this is something that can very well appeal to our lusts. We have to know that. We have to consider that. It identifies with what we tend to enjoy. Number two, it identifies with our lusts. Notice number three, it intersects with what others want for us. It intersects with what others want for us. Why is this so compelling? Well, why is it that I can spend hours on this app doing this event? Okay, now get it and don't miss this. Because that app, that program, that game has been designed to keep you there. It's been designed that way. Okay, the company that put that out understood that they had something special. But they understood as well that it was something that would keep you there as long as they continued to offer more, continued to update. You're a consumer in their eyes. When companies look at you, they see dollar signs. They do the same thing with me. And so we have to understand that there's a reason why your Instagram feed never ends. You have to understand that, realize that when you're scrolling through your social media, that literally you can scroll forever. Why is that? Well, because their intent is to keep you there. That is why sometimes we have a hard time putting down the controller. That is why sometimes we have a hard time putting down the phone. It intersects with what others want for us. And number four, it identifies with our desires for control. Identifies our desires with our desires for control. We need to keep moving. I want to share this with you, and this came from an article that I think is it's really great article, and yet there's six ways that he mentions that your devices can change you. Okay, now we don't typically tend to think that way. We think, okay, look, I'm in control of my time as I use this game. I'm in control of my device as I surf the web. I'm in control of my device as I XYZ. Okay? We don't tend to think this way, but sometimes without realizing it, your interaction with technology can end up very well changing you. Think about this for a second. Think about this. And you don't have to write these down. I left some note fill-ins if you wanted to, but I just want to read these six ways that our phones or technology can change us. Number one, our phones can amplify our addiction to distraction. And this is a real thing. You know, the more we become absorbed in the cool things, staring at a screen, the more we have a hard time focusing on things that we need to. Maybe you haven't realized it, but it can amplify your addiction to distraction. Number two, our phones make us think we are more than flesh and blood. Hey, let me tell you, when I throw a filter on this picture, I look near perfect. I mean, they are getting the best version of Brother Scott. Gray hair, gone. Okay? That we think that this is a controlled environment, and we lose sight of the fact that this is not reality. It's not reality. And we scroll through other people's pictures and we see, boy, I wish that I could look like that, you know. We don't understand that they took 100 pictures before that, you know, and changed the lighting 6 times. You know, we don't understand. And it gives us a false sense of reality that's just not connected with real life. Our phones make us think that we are more than flesh and blood. Number three, our phones feed our craving for immediate approval and promise to hedge against our fear of missing out. Well, your phone, my phone, our devices will keep us there a long time and will make promises that it can never fulfill. You know, why is it that after spending a long time on our phones that sometimes we get to a point where we feel lonely? Well, that doesn't make sense. Boy, I've spent time with all these people, and yet I still have a sense of loneliness in my heart. I want you to realize tonight that this is a real thing. And there are people in your generation that are struggling with being alone more so than any other generations. And yet we're connected more than we ever have been. Why is that? Well, because your phone, your device will make you a lot of promises. But ultimately, it often leaves us unfulfilled. Do you consider that tonight? Do you see that? I want you to notice that he says that our phones offer us a buffet of produced media and tempt us to indulge in visual vices. And that is 100% true. There's a lot of wicked stuff on social media. There's a lot of wicked and evil things on the web. Are you aware of that? Do you go in understanding that? These things have a way of changing us. Our phones overtake and distort our identity and tempt us towards unhealthy loneliness and isolation. And these were just six things. Is it these the only ways that our phone can change us? Is it the only way that your device can have an effect on you? Certainly not. There are many others that we could talk about tonight. These were just a few of examples. But I want you to consider the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 when he says, Be conformed to the image of his son. Okay, did you get that? Be conformed to the image of his son. So, it is, what's my goal as a person who claims to be a follower of Christ? Well, the Lord tells us his ultimate goal is that we would be conformed to the image of his son. What does that mean? That we would look like Jesus. That we would act like Jesus. That's the goal. That's the goal. And so I ask you tonight, what effect is your use of social media or of technology having on you? Is it shaping you to the point of some of these things? Or do you find that it is helping you walk the path of Jesus? Because if it's not, something needs to go. Let's consider a couple more things here before our time is up. I want you to go to the next section here, and this is how should I consider using my device, my technology? How should I consider this? And I hope that you'll take these things to heart. Notice number one, be willing to renew your technology or applications. Be willing to renew. We've got a conference coming up that we're calling Renew. And this has a very, very similar sense as the word revival would. Okay, it means that we once were something and have gotten away from that, and now we need a refresh. Okay, and maybe that's how things are with you. Maybe you've got a phone. You say, Brother Scott, when my parents gave me the phone, they told me very specifically the ways I was to use and not use this. Well, I'm going to ask you, are you in connection with the way that you know they want you to use it? Are you in connection with the way that you know Christ would have you to use it? Because you realize tonight, if you're not, you've not considered as you ought. And you do need to be renewed. You say, well, Brother Scott, how can I renew my technology? How can I renew my apps? Well, maybe some of you need to go home tonight, get out that device that you use, and maybe along with your parents, and you go through and you just say, Mom, Dad, there's some apps I need to get rid of. There's some things that are taking too much of my time and that are shaping me in a way that does not look like Jesus. Are you willing to do that? Boy, we say, Brother Scott, I give my life to the Lord. Yes, absolutely. Should I be in church, Brother Scott? I know I should be in church, Brother Scott. Yeah, should I bring my Bible? Okay, I know I should bring my Bible. Do we know that it matters how we use technology? Or is that something that we've held to ourselves? What did the psalmist say? He said, there's some things to consider. What did Haggai say? He said, listen, consider now. What did Paul say? He said, listen, consider and allow the Lord to give understanding. We see be willing to renew. That means clean house. Get rid of it. Or anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Clean house, enable protections and filters. Listen, there's not a device in my house that doesn't have a filter or protection on it. Brother Scott, are you worried you're going to go off down the road of sin and you don't listen? I
know that there's some things on devices that appeal to my old man. I'm not willing to take that chance. But there's a whole lot of people in this world who picked up a device carelessly, not considering, not thinking they would struggle, not seeing themselves going down a pathway, and found out very quickly that they were not strong enough to use it responsibly. So what helps you, Brother Scott? Well, I have some filters and I have some restrictions on my phone. And I do that because I want to follow Christ. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be someone who stumbles and then has a hard time getting up. You may need a clean house. You may need to enable protection and filters. Number two, set new boundaries and stick with them. Set new boundaries and stick with them. I would hope that everyone in this room tonight could have some parental involvement in regards to your device and how you use it. But just because maybe your parents did not give you some ground rules or talk to you about how it should not or should be used doesn't excuse you tonight. You ever heard this principle before? Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. You heard that principle before? Well, it's 100% true. You maybe have parents who are not too concerned about the way you use a device, or who don't know about how you could use a device or its potential dangers, but that doesn't excuse you from the fact that you, as a believer, ought to make decisions regarding your technology that would equate with following Jesus. Be willing to renew your phone. Set new boundaries and stick with them. Here are a few questions to ask. When am I going to use it? When am I going to use it? Am I going to use it this time or that time? These will help you carve out opportunities to use your device. Where am I going to use it? You know, I'm a strong proponent of keeping your smartphone or devices out of your room. I have heard way too many stories of people going to bed, couldn't sleep, I'm going to get out my phone, and it's going to keep me up. And, you know, you could even be doing something fine with your phone, but when you need to be sleeping, it's not a wise thing. I encourage you to keep your phone in a place that will not be easily tempting. Where am I going to use it? Number three here, who am I going to communicate with? Is this important? It absolutely is. Lord cares about our communication. Next one down, who am I not going to communicate with? Well, I think that's a great question as well. Next one down, how long am I going to use it in one setting? And these are just things that will help you identify some boundaries, and I encourage everybody to get with your parents, have these conversations. Number three and finally here, invest in key areas of your life. Be willing to renew, set new boundaries. Number three, invest in key areas of your life. Understand this, your phone, your device should not be your world. Shouldn't be. It wants to be. Those companies are going to try to make it to be. And that's why you and I have to understand, listen, this is a tool that can be used with the right parameters. And I can still, as a Christian, use it effectively. But it can't become my world. It can't become more important than the Lord. It can't become more important than my relationships. That's the next thought here. Notice, take care of responsibilities. Invest in key areas of your life by taking care of responsibilities. Technology should not take the place of responsibilities. You got to keep up with those. Number two here, get your rest. One of the biggest things young people your age miss because they're so absorbed in the technology is this idea of rest. And some people have become so accustomed to staring at their phone in the wee hours of the morning that they can't sleep. It messes with your eyes, you get a headache, and before you know it, you can't even fall asleep. It happens. Take care of responsibilities. Get your rest. Number three, build face-to-face relationships. Build face-to-face relationships. Now, this is a big one. You know, when we go on an activity or we go to camp, I always try to encourage you guys, listen, you're sitting by someone. talk to them. Build that face-to-face interaction. It's something that your generation really has to work on. I think it's sad when we go into a restaurant as a family and we look across and we see four people who are waiting on the waitress or waiter. Nobody's talking to themselves. They're just staring at their cell phone. Boy, that's sad. You know, a cell phone is raising their kids. You know, a device is raising their kids. I think that's a really sad thing because we are missing opportunities that we need. Engagement. When you go to the table, leave your phone somewhere else so you can talk to your parents. When you're riding in the car, just don't say, hey, I just want to be on my phone and I'm going to look at my phone. No, talk to your parents, talk to your brother, talk to your sister. Listen, those are the things that are most important. Those are the key areas that we need to be investing in, as Andrew so well talked about tonight. Take responsibility, get the rest you need. And then notice this, time with God. Set aside time with God. Really, this needs to be at the top of the list. You know, we tend to make time for everything. The things that we want to do, the games that we want to play, social media interaction that we want to be a part of, friends that we want to talk to. Is all of that taking the place of our relationship with God? Oh, I wonder tonight, and I'm not going to do it, but I wonder if I was to ask Brother Chase and Miss Hannah, hey, how many people took time for their devotions this past week? Is it a good number? Was it a number that would have been less than 10%? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I do know this. If you and I are making time for technology and not making time for the Lord, well, we haven't considered. We haven't considered. I say this tonight, and then I'm done. Mark chapter 6 and verse 52, the Lord rebuked his disciples, and he said this. They had just come through a storm. It was the second time they had been through a storm with him. And even the second time, they were just as fearful as they were the first. Lord's trying to teach them through that storm. Hours before, he fed the 5,000 with the miracle of the loaves. He told them this. After he rebuked them because they were so afraid on the sea, he said this. He said, you considered not the miracle of the loaves. Boy, what an indictment. Can you imagine sitting there in the boat, just hanging your head? Lord, I didn't think about it. Tonight, earlier today, I went to the store to run an errand. And when I run up to everybody know where the Giant facility is up here, know where Giant is and Subway and all that. Everything's right in that plaza that I ever need, so it's a quick trip. There's a few lights on Drainsville. How many of you noticed that? There's a few lights there. I was driving, and it's great to get green. Sometimes you get red, and there's one person. You know, you're like, oh, okay, one person. All right, we'll stop. We'll wait. I'm getting ready to turn in the Giant parking lot, and I'm at that intersection. There's a lady in front of me who is inching out into the area for the turn. The light is green. No one's coming, okay? Which means that she can turn left into the plaza, okay? How many of you, you've seen this before? Okay, somebody, they're going to sit and wait for the green light. Just go, oh, I'll wait. Okay. In that moment, what did I want to do? Lay on the horn. 100%. In fact, I thought about it. I sat there. I'm like, she's not going to go. I cannot believe she is not going. She's going to sit here. She's going to wait for the green arrow. And just before I honked my horn, I saw this lady in the rearview mirror. Now, she was older, okay? Someone's grandmother, perhaps. On the bumper, I saw the ribbon for cancer survivor. And I paused. I thought, you know what? If I lay on the horn, it's probably really going to scare this woman. And I stopped. I said, you know what? I think wisdom here would have me just be a little more patient in this moment. Okay, now I wish I could say that I have that reaction all the time. But what happened? Listen, and don't miss it. I stopped and I considered, right? And that's all I'm asking us to do this evening. And so the next time you pull out your iPhone, your iPad, your smartphone, your device, I'm hoping that each one of us will stop and consider what the Lord would have us to do. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Just want to take a second and have a word of prayer. And then we've got something special here for you in just a moment. But before I pray, I just want to ask this simple question. Okay? Just a simple question. And without being specific and without going into detail, I'm going to ask this question to you. You say, Brother Scott, the Lord has brought to mind an area of my technological use that I need to stop and consider. It's a broad question. How many of you, just by the uplifted hand, would you say, Brother Scott, that's me? There's an area in my life, technologically, that I need to stop and consider. A lot of hands in the room, folks. You can put those down. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would be with these teenagers. And I pray, Father, that you would help them as they desire to please you and live out their Christian lives, Lord, through their technology. Lord, maybe some need to have a conversation with a parent tonight. I pray that they do that. Lord, maybe there's someone who doesn't have a device, but Lord's been a little sneaky in that regard. They've used a friend's device in a way that they shouldn't because they know their parents are against it. They've tried to go around the filters. They've tried to go around the ends and try to get at something, Lord, that is feeding their lusts. I pray, God, tonight that that heart attitude would be convicted and put off. Lord, help all of us to consider these things. In your name we pray. Amen.